This week's Torah reading is called Beshalach, which means, and when he sent, when Pharaoh sent the Jewish people from Egypt, and they left actually. And so many things happen in this particular reading that it's difficult to choose one. But let's focus on one particular scene over here. When Jews left Egypt, they were faced with the Yam Suf, the Red Sea. And at a particular point, the Egyptians went to chase for the Jews to bring them back. And the Jews, on one hand, they had the Red Sea. On the other hand, the Egyptians chasing them. It was pretty hard situation. What do we do right now? We go back, we jump into the sea. That means death. So what's going on over here? They chose to, as the Torah says, Vayitzaku. They cried out to God. It doesn't really say what they said. The text doesn't explain what they said, but they cried out to God. And there's a commentary of Rashi, very interesting. Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, he lived in France, year 1000, and he explains what happened over there. This is what Rashi says, they chose the occupation of their forefathers. We find Abraham praying to God. We find Yitzchok praying to God. And we find Yaakov praying to God. So that's what they did, they prayed to God. This is what Rashi comments. Now the question is, what's so difficult about this verse that they cried out to God because they were in a difficult situation? What's so difficult about the verse that Rashi has to comment? We know he was so precise, and in every single place where he comments and says something, that's because there's a problem with the verse. So what's the problem over here? Furthermore, we do find already in Parsha Shmois, the Jewish people were suffering for the hard work, and they already cried out to God. And Rashi doesn't comment anything. It's a simple thing. You're in a bad situation, you cry out to God. So why does Rashi choose in this particular parsha, in this particular scene, to explain that the Jews actually cried out to God? And the explanation is quite weird. They chose the occupation of the forefathers. Rashi doesn't say they prayed, which would be the regular, simple explanation. Rashi says they chose the occupation of their forefathers. And he, furthermore, the examples he brings where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov prayed actually are weird examples. Really weird. We find that Avram prayed to God before God decided to destroy Sodom and Amoria, five cities actually, that had to be completely destroyed, perverted, and so on. And Avram was praying to God. But Rashi doesn't choose this example to show us that that Abraham really prayed. Rashi chooses a later example where it just says Abraham was standing there. And our sages explain, oh, he was praying. Same thing with Yitzchak. Rashi chooses a verse that says that Yitzchak left, he went out into the field to talk. That's what the Torah says. Instead of using a proof that Yitzchak prayed to God. For instance, when he wanted children, he didn't have children, so he prayed to God to have children, him and Rivka. No, Rashi chooses a different verse. Yitzchak went out into the field to talk. Oh, and our sages say, this talk? Yes, this talk was prayer. And the same thing by Yaakov. We find that Yaakov prayed to God, Atzilenina, please save me from my brother, from Esav. And still, Rashi does not choose that verse to prove that Yaakov prayed to God. Rather, he chooses Ba'iv Gabamakum. Yaakov found a place and suddenly he saw a stairs and then Pashas Vayetze, whatever the case was. And our sages say, yeah, he found a place. Ba'iv Gab, the word Ba'iv Gab in Hebrew means also praying. So it's strange. Rashi wants to prove that our forefathers prayed, and he picked up verses that are not so clear that they were praying. Our sages have to come and say that they were praying. Why? What's Rashi doing over here? In order to understand this, we have to understand what really was the problem with this verse, that the Jewish people were crying out to God, that Rashi chose to explain. And with that, we'll understand what's going on. The problem is the following. It's pretty simple. The problem is, God promised the Jewish people he would take them out of Egypt. He would give them the Torah at Mount Sinai. He would make them enter the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, to make it in the land of Israel. And still, in the first problem they found, Red Sea, Egyptians, what do we do? First problem they found, they started praying. Wait a second. If you really believe in God, if God promised you that he's going to save you and he's going to help you and so on, what do you pray for? God? already promised you. And on the other hand, if you don't believe in God, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, if you don't believe in God, so what do you pray for? Over here, these guys were praying, but God promised you. Even I don't understand. He promised you, don't pray. And if you pray, what are you accomplishing over here? That's why Rashi says, look, there are two types of prayer. Actually, Rashi doesn't say this, but this is the explanation of what's going on. There are two types of prayer. There's a prayer where you actually ask for something. You request, or you claim, or whatever. You thank God for something. That's one type of prayer. As an objective, a subject. Yeah, I want to thank, I want to ask. But then there's another type of prayer where you don't ask anything. You don't ask anything. You don't ask, you don't thank for anything. You don't claim anything. You just pray. What does that mean? The word tefillah, prayer in Hebrew, is connected to the word teufel kelim. That means to put together parts of a vessel that was broken. So tefillah actually means a connection to God. You're just connecting to your master, to your creator. Nothing more than that. Nothing less than that. You just want to be with him. You just want to talk to him. I'm not asking anything. I'm not thinking anything. Just, I want to be with you. So over here, the Jewish people were not praying, actually, to ask for salvation. Yeah, the Red Sea, the Egyptians. God promised you. If you believe in God, you have nothing to worry about. But they were praying anyway. That's why Rashi says they were actually taking the occupation of their forefathers. We find that the forefathers prayed. Yeah, but they prayed in these two ways, actually. Sometimes we find that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they prayed for something. Avraham just prayed so Sodom and Amorah would not be destroyed. And Yitzchak prayed for children. And Yaakov prayed for to be saved from his brother. But then we find other places where our forefathers were just praying. What do you mean? What do you need? Nothing. What are you asking? Nothing. What are you thinking? Nothing. Are you praising God? No. I just want to be with you. And that's why Rashi chose these specific verses where we find just Avram praying. What is he saying? We don't, nothing, whatever, he's praying. And Yitzchak, he was just went out in the field. He was praying to God. What was he asking? Nothing, he was just praying. And Yaakov, he found a place and he started praying. Okay, it was a holy place, whatever, but he just started praying. What is he asking? What was he asking? Nothing. That's why Rashi chose exactly these particular verses. Now, this has a very powerful lesson. And the lesson is, it's okay to pray for things. It's okay to ask to God. Of course, who are you going to ask to? The only one that can really give you something, the only Almighty, is just God. He's the only one. It's okay to pray, to praise. It's okay to pray, to thank for. We have to be thankful for things. But you know what? The strongest and most powerful prayer is, I just want to talk to you. I just want to be with you. Between parentheses, interestingly to note, when you actually continue reading the story over there, the scene, the Jewish people started actually complaining. And complaining, why did you take us out of Egypt? And why did... what was going on over there? When a person is in a very difficult situation, very pressed for something, sometimes we talk without a true intention, and sometimes we say things that we don't really believe on and we don't really think that way, but just the situation leads us to say things we don't really want to say. So that was what was going on when the Jewish people started complaining. But the prayer itself? Nah, says Rashi, prayer was no complaints. Prayer was not helping, asking for help. The prayer was just, let's connect to our Creator.